The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Phone lines are open, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-BOB-LIVE. 262-5483. Well, there are some simple principles that I throw out often on this program as kind of the foundation of the things we talk about. One is the devil lives in the extremes. I say that all the time, and I believe it with all my heart. If you go to the extreme in any topic, any subject, the devil wins. Now, I'm not saying that we compromise and be in the middle, but if you go to the extreme, any topic, any subject, you're in trouble. Another one is if you choose to travel down a path, finish it, class. You know what I'm going to say. Don't look at where it will take you in 5 miles or 10 miles. Look at where that road will take you in 1,000 or 5,000 miles. Because when it's ideology or philosophy or even theology, if you choose a particular path, it's almost impossible to make a U-turn. Well, here's another illustration of this. Headline. Miami Police Department suspends Miami Police Department suspends white officer who begins identifying as black. And here's the story. This guy's been working for the Miami Police Department for many years. He's been involved in the police union for many years. In fact, he was an officer in the police union for many years. Well, he began looking around and he realized, well, he's white and the Miami Police Department is very aggressive on hiring and promoting minorities. I don't know that they have a quota system, but he began looking around and saying, I'm kind of a disadvantage here because I'm white. If I was black, I might get promoted quicker. And so he declared to the police department, I am now a black male. Okay. Now, he's been suspended. Oh, by the way, with pay. With pay. He's been suspended, but with pay because they're not sure what to do. Because if this was a male police officer who just one day wakes up and says, I feel pretty today. I think I'll become a female officer, and I'm going to announce I am now a female. In our current cultural climate, the Miami Police Department couldn't do a thing. They would have to say, you look like a male. I know, but I'm female. Okay. And I insist on being referred to with female pronouns. Okay. They would have to do that. They would have to do that. So they don't know what to do with this guy. He's not black. It's clear that he's not black. But they're afraid of a discrimination lawsuit. So, breaking news. Officer says, I am a black male. After he was caught lying about his race on an exam. Well, now wait a minute. Is he lying? Or is he just identifying? Folks, listen. when you start traveling down that road of you can be whatever you want to be and declare yourself to be man, woman, whatever, boy, girl, you have opened the floodgates for things like this. I'm reading from the story. He appears white, but he argued race isn't about appearances. Quote, I am not Hispanic. I was born in this country. And right now I feel black. So he's questioned, when you applied for the police department, did you classify yourself as a black male or a white male? He says, I think I put white male. Well, I know I put white male, but I don't know if I put Hispanic. But now I feel black. I identify with black. This is going to be a fascinating story to watch. How can they be consistent and fire this guy? The floodgates have been opened. Wow. Just wow. All right. Let's go to the phones. And first up, we've got Gail in Newark, Ohio. Hey, Gail, welcome. You're on Bob Rennie Live.
Yeah. Well, I have called in the past because I like Trump. And I just have to say I'm so proud of him that he met with the pro-life group today. And he made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. I'm just so happy and proud. And hopefully we're all going to keep supporting his policies.
Well, me too. And I'm proud of him as well. And do you find it strange and bizarre that the mainstream media has totally ignored the fact that he showed up to somewhere between 200 and 500,000 people at a pro-life march? You find that strange?
I think the whole thing is very scary, but I know God is in control, and I believe we're in a civil war just like in the past, and that we better rise up. Christians better hold to a president here who's standing up for what we Christians support, and we better make a voice here. And I pray every day for, you know, he won't get assassinated or anything like that, but it's all very scary what's going on. And I'm just so thankful we have someone with this strength. I mean, his bombasticness, to me, all goes with the package that he can actually endure this. So,
yeah. Well,
fight back.
That's one thing my wife and I prayed about specifically last night was his safety today.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did it take moral courage, it just took a lot of guts to be out in the open at a rally that is so controversial, that is surrounded by so many mean-spirited, angry protesters. Some of the protesters at the March for Life rally were just unbelievably mean and angry. And I would not have wanted to be part of the Secret Service detail trying to keep him safe today. But he was safe, and we can praise God for that.
Well, I just relish in God's allowing him to be president to promote more Israeli and Christian values. And I just can't get enough of it because we are being blessed by grace right now. So,
all right. Well, Gail, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. All right. Have a great evening. God bless you. All right, and we must take a break. With Gail hanging up, I've got a phone line available for you if you'd like to get in on the discussion. And again, we can talk about basically anything. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome again to an Open Phone Friday on Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. This is the day for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., that the mainstream media has completely ignored. All right, let's go back to the phones, and next up is Charles in Columbus. Charles, welcome.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. That's good to hear. Oh, hey, Bob, before I go into what I want to talk about, let me just say this. I heard your interview with Star Parker Tuesday, and my response is totally wrong, totally off. She's totally incorrect, but that's for another day. The reason why I called, Bob, I have a question for you and two comments. The first question is, what has the Lord revealed to you about Trump?
You really want to go through this again? I've answered that for you three or four times altogether.
I've asked that before.
Well, yeah, you yes, well, you have, Charles. I will say that I am grateful for the good things that he has done, and I pray for him on the things that I don't agree with. That's what God has revealed to me, to pray for those that are in leadership. I am commanded to do that biblically, and I do that constantly. And I've said this probably 100 times, and you've heard me say it probably 100 times. I will praise him when he is worthy of praise. I will criticize him when he is worthy of criticism. Okay? And I've been true to that.
Well, again, Bob, you're wrong in saying that I said something or whatever, but that's neither here nor there. The reason why I asked you that question is because you said that somebody you know that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody said Trump gave his life to the Lord. Trump is not a believer. Trump has not given his life to the Lord.
You don't know that, Charles. Stop it.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Bob, can I go at all?
No, when you make ridiculous statements that are unbiblical, no, you don't know that. You don't know that. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, let me, Bob, can I explain? And you know it too. Early on in Trump's presidency, he was asked, had he ever asked the Lord for forgiveness? Okay? Trump's response was, no, I don't ask the Lord for forgiveness. I haven't done anything. Every believer knows that the first thing a believer has to do, or a person has to do, to
Charles, come to Charles, that was God. Long.
Bob, can I finish?
That was long
Bob,
before.
Can I finish?
No,
Bob,
we'll No. We will have a dialogue. You make a statement. I'll make a comment. Then you can state again. You know the drill, Charles. Okay. He'd said that long before he became president.
Please, thank you. Now, allow me to finish. Now, everyone knows that as a believer, everyone knows that anyone who comes to an eternal relationship with God has to first confess that they're a sinner, that they're separated from the Lord.
Did you not hear what I just said?
Forgive, Bob, can I finish? Thank you. Then ask the Lord to come into their life and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Trump has not done that. Second of all, we can end it right there. But here's the second thing. There's been no fruits of the Spirit in this guy, which is consistent with him not accepting Christ. He has accepted Christ, so there will be no fruits of the Spirit, no fruits of the Spirit shown in this guy, because this guy is not a believer. Third, this is personal for me. Every time I think about this guy, the first thing the Holy Spirit moves me to do is pray for his salvation. Pray for his salvation. Instead of getting upset with this guy, Charles, pray for his salvation. Now, you may not accept the fact that this guy is not a believer, but he's not a believer. Now,
Charles,
let me go to my comments.
Charles, no.
Can I go to my comments, Charles?
You've been going on for 4 minutes, okay, which is longer than anybody today. You don't know whether he's a believer or not. You don't. God has not made you the judge of his soul. And then you go on the air and you say, God tells me, the Holy Spirit tells me not to get upset at him, but to pray. And then you come on this program and all you do is yell about how upset you are about him. So evidently, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, because that's all I hear from you is how upset you are with him. And you keep bringing this up. You've done this over and over again. He said he didn't need to ask anybody for forgiveness. That was a long time ago. And the people that I know that know him personally say that it has been since he has become president. So what you're saying is completely irrelevant, but I'm always glad when you call. I am, and I hope you'll continue. Okay. Folks, listen. No, I won't even go there. I'll just leave it, except you are on dangerous ground when you make a statement. I know that person is not a believer. You are on dangerous ground. That's dangerous. I just want to inform you that in Missouri, as well as other states, we are fighting battles that I don't think any of us thought we would ever fight in America 30 years ago. We never thought that it would be necessary in state legislatures across America to pass legislation to protect children from drag queen story hours. Men dressed up like women, sometimes in very provocative costumes and sexually suggested. Who, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, who would have ever thought it would be necessary to pass legislation to give parents the right to determine what their kids see at the local library? Well, Missouri is the latest state. Several others have done this. In Missouri, it is called the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act. Quote, the legislation is aimed at libraries that display, quote, age inappropriate material. Now, of course, the people at the library are saying, this is censorship. No, it's not censorship. It's common sense. So, they're trying to get this passed in Missouri. It has some bipartisan support. And again, it is called the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act. Quote, in some places, St. Louis, Kansas City, and Joseph, Missouri, they've had these drag queen story hours. And that's something that I take objection to, and I think a lot of parents do. That is from the state representative, Ben Baker, from Neosho, Missouri. I actually know where Neosho, Missouri is. I have relatives in Neosho, Missouri. But anyway, he is the one proposing that. He went on to say, that's where in a public space, our kids could be exposed to something that's age inappropriate. That's what I'm trying to tackle. The bill does not apply to books. He says, if we were trying to ban books or censor literature, I would kill the bill myself. So it is... It is an attempt to give parents more control in the state of Missouri what their children see and don't see in public places, like a public library that is supported by local tax dollars. Good for them. Again, I just find it mind-blowing that we have come to the place where we need legislation to curtail this kind of activity for our children. I hope they're successful. I really do. We'll be back